There I was visiting my mom one day back in 73, when she remembered an important appointment. What, I asked, and she said, to buy gas. To buy gas? Apparently her neighborhood gas station was serving only locals and by appointment. Well, let me back up for those listeners who just got here. All this was during the Yom Kippur-Ramadan War. Saudi Arabia had decided to cut off oil to the West to support the Egyptian and Syrian attack on Israel. You know, when they tried to win back land lost to the Israelis in 1967, who, of course, were only responding to Nasser's aggressive move in the... Oh, skip that. You get the point. You lived this movie. The point was, America, which has always had plenty of coal and literally created the oil revolution, Colonel Drake and all that, was by the 1970s importing more and more foreign oil. And, of course, more and more dependent on oil from a frequently volatile Middle East. And that conversation with my mom has been on my mind a lot lately as I have considered President Obama's ineffectual effort at confronting the climate crisis. Sure, he has implemented the biggest green energy stimulus ever, and he certainly spoke dramatically of the need to confront man-made climate change in his inaugural and the last State of the Union. But the physics and chemistry of the atmosphere could not care less if we're making progress. No, given the threat man-made climate change is making to our entire future, a future of drought, crop failures, and ever more superstorms like Sandy, a great many of us have been angry that Obama has not fully used the presidential bully pulpit enough. But I'm beginning to think the real problem is not that the president has not used the bully pulpit enough, but his predecessors used it too much. Because almost from the day my mom mentioned that curious appointment to buy gas, President Nixon, just one of many of President Obama's predecessors, started talking about energy independence, about building up our own strategic reserves, about the importance of regaining our former energy autonomy, which, unlike most of the world, had seen us with lower prices and less dependent on wacko foreign rulers. And President Nixon promised us we would get it back, that we would wean ourselves from Middle Eastern politics. And every president since, from Ford to Carter, from Reagan to Clinton, both Bushes, have kept talking of the same thing. Now that is using the presidential bully pulpit. While President Obama's enthusiasm for his all-the-above energy strategy invokes the same thing. No, it's not that President Obama has not spoken enough about the importance of green energy. It's just that generations-long drive toward greater energy independence is simply too attractive. And the idea of not being dragged into more and more quagmires over oil, deeply compelling. Bin Laden, after all, did not attack us over our freedoms, but our oil policies in the Persian Gulf, policies that certainly fed the anti-Americanism of those two killers in Boston. Now, let's be clear here. If there were no such thing as fossil fuel-based climate instability, the idea of developing new fossil fuel resources from fracking to the Keystone Tar Sands pipeline might make sense. But the core problem is that an increasingly destabilized world climate system is more dangerous than Middle Eastern wars. No, real energy independence is green energy. Green energy independence means freedom not only from Middle Eastern instability, but freedom from the much more dangerous global instabilities that are coming at us from a destabilized climate system, one with destructive powers Bin Laden could only have prayed for.